Here to present are two familiar faces to our annual conference, Matthew Ammerman and Professor Michael Sturley. Matthew is the founder of his own maritime personal injury defense firm, where he represents employers, insurers, and ship owners in defense of claims under the Longshore Act and the Jones Act and other suits standing under maritime law. Professor Sturley is the Fannie Coplin Regents Chair at the University of Texas Law School, where he teaches maritime law, commercial law, and directs the Supreme Court Clinic of the Law School. We certainly appreciate all the time and effort that Michael and Matthew put into this paper and presentation each year. And so without any further ado, Professor Sturley and Matthew.
Thank you very much. I'd like to add my thanks for hosting us. It's a real pleasure to be here. this is actually, excuse me, I haven't used my voice in a while. First time I've been in your new offices, and these are very impressive. It's a pleasure to be here. Now, we will be conducting this as we have in previous years. I see many familiar faces here who recognize our procedure. You will not have to put up with one of us talking for 45 minutes and then the other of us talking for 45 minutes. We will try to go back and forth so that we can take breaks, get a drink, that sort of thing in the middle. Just the way it works out, it turns out this year we will have, you know, bigger chunks for each of us than it's our preference. But that's the way the case is lined up in the presentation. Now we will start, as Julie Andrews famously sang, at the very beginning. First case on the list: Great Lakes Insurance SE versus Raiders Retreat Realty Co. This started out very much like so many marine insurance cases. It ended up very differently than most marine insurance cases in that it went to the Supreme Court for the first time in 69 years. This is the first time the Supreme Court has actually ruled on a marine insurance dispute since Wilburn Boat in 1955. So Matthew and I are developing a tradition that once every 69 years, we will talk about a Supreme Court marine insurance case. So as I say, things began fairly normally. Relatively small recreational vessel ran aground. Oral argument, it turns out that it was taking on water, so they deliberately ran it on aground to make the salvage a bit easier. And of course, the policyholder had been paying premiums on the insurance policy over the years and thought, oh, I've suffered a loss, I have a claim. Filed it with the insurance company, thinking that insurance companies pay claims. But then the insurance company did what insurance companies do. They filed a preemptive declaratory judgment action saying, we only collect premiums, we don't pay claims. We are not liable on this because you have breached your warranty. The warranty in question was failing to get the fire suppression equipment suppressed. You may wonder, what does fire suppression equipment have to do with running aground? The answer is absolutely nothing. There was no fire. There was nothing wrong with the fire suppression equipment, but they hadn't inspected it. They had warranted that they would, so that was a breach of warranty. Now, of course, the first question you get in most marine insurance cases is, what's the governing law here? And I'm sure we're all familiar with the Wilburn Boat process. Some courts actually follow through and say, is there an established federal law? If not, should we formulate one? And if not, should we look to state law? Other courts just skip all that and go straight to state law. Well, here there was a choice of law clause that said New York law will be the governing law in the absence of well-established federal law. And parties conceded there was no well-established federal law. You know, the issue here was breach of warranty, which was the same issue in Wilburn Boat. So we actually had a Supreme Court ruling that there is no well-established federal law. Wilburn Boat didn't address which state law would apply, but the choice of law clause here said, look to New York law. Surprisingly enough, the rule in New York is insurance company wins. So that may have something to do with why they chose New York law in their clause. Pennsylvania law, which, as Justice Kagan pointed out during oral argument, this case screams Pennsylvania all over it, had some had some statutes that protect policyholders.